Well, a good day to you. Welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. Jerry Escher here. Debbie Giorgiani is with us. And one of the things many people are talking about this time of year is the reception of first sacraments, including First Communion. And that is what we're going to talk about today. If you have a child who has or is soon to receive First Communion and you'd like to share what a blessed moment that was for them and for you, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And really, Debbie, I think we can open it up to anybody who would like to share if they remember their First Communion.
That's very true. And maybe you could share with us if you were happy with the preparation for your child's First Communion in their religious education classes. We can talk about that as well. It's also our, today is Our Lady of Fatima, a very, very important day today. And, you know, it was so interesting. We pray before every show to what we call the Powerhouse Seven. And we pray to Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Fatima. So this is a very special day for us here at Take Two as well. And also, we'll share some more about what the bishops are asking us to do, a day of prayer and fasting. Remember, fasting breaks strongholds. We need that right now because there are a lot of, demons at work. I think they're working overtime right now, and we really need to ramp up the prayer and the fasting. And then I'll also share a little bit about Blessed Imelda Lambertini, who died yesterday, and kind of shares this feast day of May 13th, back in 1333. And she was the young, on her road to full canonization, the young saint who, at 11 years old, Jerry, she died in ecstasy after receiving her first Holy Communion. And she actually said to the sisters before receiving, and remember, 11 years old, folks, Saint Blessed Imelda Lambertini, at 11 years old, she was asking the sisters, doesn't everybody die after receiving their first communion? Hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Well, call in and let us hear your account of your First Communion, or again, of your child's First Communion. Maybe they're getting ready. What are they talking about? How are they going? When I taught First Communion in 1 year in the seminary as my field education of the second graders, you know, we used to ask them, what are you going to say to Jesus when you receive him for the first time? And Debbie, that got their minds going and their hearts going. So Take Two family, do you have a child that is going to receive First Communion, has already this year, or maybe those of you listening would like to reminisce on your own First Communion and share what that was like, that moment for you? 833-288-3986. Phone lines are wide open right now. Matt Gubinski is waiting for your calls.
Well, I think if you're a religious education teacher and you're in sacrament prep, you should definitely teach the story of Blessed Imelda Lambertini to those that are receiving their first Holy Communion, because her absolute understanding, her preciousness on how she entered into the sacrament. Now, she died in joy, in complete joy, ecstasy after receiving. So that was how close she was to her understanding of being united with Jesus in the most holy Eucharist. So very, very powerful. I think we need to get back to that in our church. That's my personal opinion, because I think we're on a road that people are kind of, well, you know, you got the Eucharist, you don't have the Eucharist. There's this kind of, distant feeling somewhat towards the Eucharist. And that's very unfortunate, because if you look at the lives of the saints, they were intimately connected with the Eucharist. Okay, so please, folks, this is your time. Let's talk about the first day of Holy Communion, that first reception of the Eucharist by your children, when you were a young child. Maybe you received it as an adult. What did it feel like? What did you say to Jesus? 833-288-3986. Please don't get started with your weekend yet. We need you to fill every single phone line.
Yeah, and Debbie mentioned the fasting and prayer that we are the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has asked all of us to do today, specifically for the overturning of Roe versus Wade, for the Supreme Court, for their resolve, if you will. The leak of the draft opinion, came out a few weeks ago. And there has been a lot of chaos surrounding that. But thanks be to God, Congress was not able to codify Roe versus Wade with a vote. So I really believe this is a critical moment in the history of our nation Dear Take-Two family. I believe the outcome of this will really determine whether America stands or falls. And I believe, Debbie, if the Supreme Court does the right thing and overturns Roe, then I believe God is going to turn to our nation in great blessings, and I believe it will be the start of something very, very beautiful spiritually among among the people of this country. So let's be praying and fasting.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Jerry, and that's why it's important that we really hit our knees in prayer and fasting. Please, if you don't really understand how fasting works, just do something that is a sacrifice, something that you can enter into that sacrificial gift to kind of repair things, okay? Because there's too many offenses towards our God, right? So we have to do things. Our God is a very just God. We have to repair things, and we do that in the sacrifices, the small sacrifices we can make. So please, let's join together and do that. And our bishops are our leaders, and they asked us to really join them in a day of prayer and fasting during this wonderful day of Our Lady of Fatima, and talking about receiving your first Holy Communion. Your children, did you videotape the whole thing? Were there tears? What were the feelings? Did you have a celebration afterwards? Did you get all dressed up? Did you have a little bit of a family reunion? People came in from other states to be at your child's first Holy Communion. Share with us, please. 833-288-3986.
Phone lines are open right now. Matt Kabinski is on the phone, screening the first calls that have come in. Ace McKay is our producer on the controls today. Jeff Burson is monitoring your social media comments. So if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, hello there. You can post comments there, and many of those will get over to us during the course of the broadcast. You can email take2@ewtn.com. Tell us your first communion story. Or if you'd like to call and have your voice be heard on the air, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Couple of phone lines left available right now if you want to be in on the first group of those who get on the air here today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So happy that you are with us here. The Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, a great, glorious celebration of the feast today. And we were talking about reception of First Communion for yourself, your child. Share what it was like on Take Two.
We're so glad you joined us. Oh, we were actually just talking about Jerry's first Holy Communion experience, and Jerry, you should share that, because we're just talking off air with Ace, our producer, who does such a great job, and Jeff Burson monitoring social media, and of course our very own wonderful Matt Kabinski answering phones right now, and he's waiting to answer that very last phone line that's open at 833-288-3986. But we were just talking about Jerry's first Holy Communion experience, and Jerry, you may want to share that, because I think it's really important, because we have a lot of clergy and a lot of deacons that listen, and a lot of lay leaders in parish positions that listen to this show. So it might be important for us to discuss that, because in case that ever comes up. But we're talking about First Holy Communion today on this wonderful Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. The bishops have asked us, it's a day of prayer and fasting. And then we're also, talking about what that means for all of us. Please try to get to Mass, okay? Saturday Mass. What I mean by that is not the vigil for Sunday. I'm talking about Saturday Mass. Okay, there's special blessings and graces when we go to daily Mass. That's very powerful. And to receive the Eucharist is really transformative.
Yeah, well, Angela, we'll get to you in a second. I just was sharing with Debbie and Ace off the air. I never had a formal First Communion. When I was that age, I went through all of the classes and the formation and all of that with the other kids at the parish. But because my mother was divorced, the priest, the pastor, would not let me receive with the rest of the class. And so, I look back on that, and I don't know how I reacted at the time, but it's certainly a scandal. But I had an uncle who was a priest, a missionary in Thailand, and within a year or two of that incident, he was home on a visit to the United States and came to visit us and was happy to give me communion. At that time, and then since then, I've been receiving. So not every First Communion experience is, you know, a blessed, happy one, I guess, is what I would what I would say.
Well, but think about that for a moment, Jerry, real quickly. You had a family member who was in the priesthood. So for you, it turned out to be good. Okay, but look at the families that come in just for sacrament prep, and something unique happens, and it really leaves a bad taste. That's why it's very important that we are very careful and very sensitive on how we treat everyone that's coming for sacrament prep and coming into the church in the initiation sacraments. I'm not saying we make exceptions or compromise or do any of that, but I think we need to be very sensitive where people are at, and we have to be very loving, because had you not had an uncle, a priest, who knows what would have happened?
True. Very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. Well, we're asking you, the Take Two family, about your own personal First Communion experience or that of your child. If it has happened here recently this year, it's that time of the year when a lot of kids are receiving First Communion. We'll have 25 in our parish this year receiving First Communion. So let us hear about it, 833-288-3986. Without further delay, we go to Angela, who is in Colorado, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Angela. Welcome.
So I am just asking for prayers. I have a granddaughter who's going to be next year, going to be getting her First Holy Communion. Well, hopefully, we're praying. You know, I was telling the person in the screener, I don't know what it is with, and I just see it a lot within my own family, ages 30 to 40. It just doesn't matter. And they're not practicing, so they don't understand it. But we really need prayers, because we have so many out there whose children are not being taken to Mass. They don't know really about Jesus, Mary, anything about our faith. And so I'm just asking for prayers. My granddaughter, in particular, she knows the Blessed Mother. She's watched the movie Fatima with me. She watches a program called Superbook, and they have beautiful programs for the children to learn about our faith. Prays the Rosary. I mean, this little girl is wanting this, but her parents aren't concerned. And so I just need prayers because they weren't going to baptize her. And through prayers and thanks to the Take Two family, I asked you for prayers back then, and finally her and her little sister were baptized. So prayers, please.
Praise God that they were baptized. That is a huge first step, Angela. The first thing that comes to my mind is Debbie mentioned that saint, the blessed, at the start of the program. What was her name? Imelda Lambertini.
Imelda Lambertini. Mm-hmm. From Italy.
Yeah, she was 11 years old. She received the Eucharist, Angela, and was in what's called ecstasy. That's just kind of this spiritual state where you sort of don't even know what your surroundings are. You're so engrossed in God. And she actually died at that point. We certainly don't want our kids to die after receiving right. their First Communion. But I would say pray to her for her intercession. And also, Blessed Carlo Acutis. He is the Italian young man who died at the age of 15 of leukemia. Mm-hmm. And He actually loved the Eucharist so much, there's an exhibition of Eucharistic miracles that travels around the world that he kind of compiled. So, Debbie, you probably got even better advice than I do, but...
No, I was going to say Blessed Carlo Acutis. The reason why we, in sacrament prep, we really never taught about Blessed Imelda Lambertini is because she did die out of ecstasy. And so kids, you don't want to let kids think that they could potentially die when they receive. So you have to really process with the kids and have them understand that what ecstasy means. And sometimes at their age, they just can't grasp that. So, but Blessed Carlo Acutis, he said the Eucharist is his highway to heaven, Angela, his highway to heaven. I would continue to share wonderful stories like you have with the Fatima story with your granddaughter, and I would continue to share those stories and let her go to her parents and say, I want to receive. Okay, you know, the beauty of what our kids see, the kids nowadays have a lot of power. They have a big voice, and a lot of kids are telling parents how to raise them and how to treat them, right? We see that across the board. Well, they can do the same thing with their spirituality, and I would empower the young folks starting from the age of reason, 7 and above, to tell your parents that you want to receive, you want to go to church, you want to spend time with God, you want to learn about the saints. Okay, they have every right to. And they're of that age of reason, and it's important. So I say empower the kids to want more and more and keep them really engaged. And you know, we learn that in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is a religious education format that actually we found that the children are bringing the parents back into the faith. So it's based around the parables, and it's a beautiful a curriculum. So Angela, what do you think? You're going to keep her engaged and just keep her wanting more?
Absolutely. You know, she asked me the other day if she could marry Jesus, and I said, good. Absolutely.
How sweet. How sweet.
I was so elated when she said that.
Yeah. Well, she's got a deep spiritual concept of kind of like what Blessed Imelda Lambertini had, and that is powerful. And it's going to come through the children. My brother and I were talking about this the other night. It's going to come through the children. We need to empower the children. That's why, in my personal opinion, putting masks on kids is a big mistake. We need the kids to speak. It's time for the kids to speak for many reasons. That's a whole nother story, though. But I know there's safety reasons as well. We need more vocations. Okay, let's hear what Patty has to say in Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Tell us about First Holy Communion, Patty.
My son was going to receive his First Holy Communion, and my mother had been planning it since his baptism. She was so excited for it. She bought him an all-white suit and, you know, hemmed the pants, and she was just so excited. And she got sick and ended up in the hospital that night, so she couldn't attend the First Communion, but somebody had videotaped it, so she was able to watch it. But she was so devastated, but she was so proud. He was the only boy wearing white, and he kind of stuck out, and he looked so good. She was so proud, but she was so devastated that she didn't see it. And she still talked about it, even she just died this past month, and she still remembered how good he looked in his all-white outfit. And, it was just one of those things we'll never forget, that this woman had been planning this for 7 years, and then the day before, she ended up in the hospital.
Just as you described your son, you know, being dressed in all-white, I think that is so beautiful. It's symbolic of purity, the innocence. These young kids, you know, they aren't jaded by the world or tainted or angry or anything. They just don the white, and it's just such a moment of purity, and that encounter with Christ entering them for the first time. I think it's just very, very beautiful. So thank God that your mother got to at least see the video.
Let me ask you, Patty, I've got the book out for your mother. Could we have her first name? We're so sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you, Jackie.
You know, though, thank goodness for videos. I tell you, I live by videos. Because, you know, sometimes memories fade, and sometimes the details of things fade, and, you know, life is going so fast. So, you know, it's beautiful to have those beautiful, you can put in that disc and watch and go down memory lane, and you can see that beautiful white suit and, you know, the smile on the children's faces, and the just kind of that glow that they have as they are receiving Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist. Patty, beautiful call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you. We will definitely be praying for your son there. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Asking you about to reminisce a little bit about your First Communion or your child's. It could have been done recently, or maybe it's still yet to come here in this springtime when many young kids receive First Communion. Going to the social media, Dad, real quick, watching on YouTube, Michael J. says, my First Communion was 16 years ago at the end of RCIA. I cried in front of the whole parish. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, mm-hmm. Michael. Let those tears flow. Absolutely.
Well, speaking of that, do people have the gift of tears sometimes when receiving the Eucharist? That is a big thing. That is a very big thing, and it hits people at different times in their lives. And so we can talk about that on the next Real Presence show, Jerry, in the month of June.
Yes, indeed. Anne Marie says, I have to say, on my First Communion, I didn't have a great understanding about what was going on. I knew I was doing something for Jesus and did what my parents said, but I didn't understand really. I was a tomboy. I didn't like dresses, but it was special. I kept looking to see if I'd see a face or something on the wafer. Okay, Anne Marie, well, I'm sure your reception of the Eucharist has become much more meaningful for you since then, hopefully.
I don't know how my parents did it. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, six kids. I was the youngest of six. And I vividly remember my communion dress. It was so beautiful. It had pearls on it and everything. My mother went all out. My brothers and sisters they probably didn't get a couple meals because she paid all this money to get this dress. But I remember it. My family really, because we had an uncle, a priest, and an aunt, a sister, and my grandmother her home was right on the campus. Her backyard was on the campus of our Catholic school, Jerry. Mm. So you're talking, we were just surrounded by Catholicism, and it was a big deal in my family.
Beautiful. Well, we are going to get to more of your phone calls here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Matt Gabensky, a busy guy, answering all of your calls today. Again, Jeff Burson is on social media. Ace McKay, our producer, is on the board. We are going to get to Carolyn next in Ogdensburg, Utah in a moment. We have Suzanne in San Antonio, David in Chicago, Sue in Maryland. And by golly, there is one phone line open. So if you would like to grab that line, you will get on the program, good Lord willing, time permitting. The number is 833-288-EWTN. Again, 833-288-3986. And we're just going to remind you again that the U.S. bishops have asked us to fast and pray specifically today, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Certainly celebrate the great feast that it is, but if you can offer, as Debbie said earlier, just a few little sacrifices and do a little bit of fasting and praying. We are hoping and praying that the Supreme Court will remain resolved in their apparent vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. Huge moment in our nation's history, folks. Let's be praying.
Full phone lines here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on this wonderful Friday, Our Lady of Fatima, the feast day. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. You're not getting started with your weekend yet until you fully participate in this wonderful live broadcast, as you always do, for almost 7 years. June 15th is our seven-year anniversary. Way to go, Take Two family. Give yourselves a round of applause. Pat yourselves on the back. You're doing great. Keep passing this show around on Facebook. Jerry, I've been seeing the show recirculated on Facebook every single day, so I'm super excited about that. Nice. Okay, Jerry promised we're going to go to Carolyn next, so we're going to try to speed it up just a bit to get to everybody on this Friday broadcast. And Carolyn is in New York on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Carolyn. Tell us about a First Holy Communion.
I want to tell you about mine. It was a long time ago, 50 years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I went to Catholic school. I honestly don't remember much about preparation, but I knew that I was receiving Jesus. And for our reception, we were allowed to go into the sanctuary and kneel at a pre-do individually, and the priest would come over and give us each the Eucharist. And I remember my mother telling me, wow, you know, it's really a big deal, because when I was young, we weren't allowed in the sanctuary, and you're going to actually be able to go up there. And I thought I didn't remember anything else, but thinking about your show, I remember the tradition in the parish was for all the families to go to a restaurant called the Red Tuba, and they had red tubas hanging from the ceiling. That's all I remember. I had seven children receive First Communion, but I was their catechist. I don't know as I remember my own specifically. The thing that I always, and I told Matt this, what I love is when my older children were receiving and the younger ones were not able to receive, they would sit or in my arms and say, but I want the body of Christ. And that's what you want to, right? That's what you want them to want.
I have to ask you, Carolyn, did you say red tubas, like the band instrument?
Yes, of all sizes, and they're all red, and I don't know why.
Well, I was asking, and I'm laughing because believe it or not, that's the instrument I played in high school band. And those things are heavy, you know, when you start to try to carry those around, and we put them on a stand and, you know, play them and all that stuff. But anyway, beautiful, beautiful testimony, Carolyn. So happy that you remember. You know, you said you knew you were receiving Jesus. That is really, that is the gem. That is the pearl. That is the nugget of catechesis, of religious education, that of course starts in the home. And I think it's beautiful that the young kids, I think that's something really important, Debbie, when younger kids see their older siblings receiving and they start to have that yearning, that longing, you know, that just helps to prepare them all the more.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was talking about with Angela and her granddaughters, is to keep them wanting more, to keep them, you know, engaged and understanding. And I so agree with you. What a beautiful story you're sharing, Carolyn. And I just wanted to add something that you actually jogged my memory, but it's about when I was a religious educator in adult formation. And, you know, you get very close to different families who are ministering in the church, and this wonderful, beautiful family, the Fornoff family, beautiful family, and their youngest son, Ben, was only like 4 or 5 months old. And so I was holding him, I was cradling him as his dad was working the soundboard and his mom was doing something at the church. She was singing. She's a singer. And so she was in the choir and I was holding Ben. And do you know that at the consecration, I'm not joking, you can't make this up. At the consecration, Ben was in my arms. And at the consecration, he turned his head and whipped it around and focused on the altar, and he would not move from the altar. And how does a little baby do that? I mean, there's something that is deep inside of the human soul that longs for that connection with God. And I saw it in this little baby, and I almost dropped him because I was so shocked. So it was very interesting that can you believe that, Jerry, being like 3 or 4 months old and having that connection? So I totally share with what Carolyn has to say about this idea that it definitely leaves an impact in the young souls.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that beautiful contribution to the program. You know, we have stories, Debbie, of even you know, animals dropping to their knees, you know, when the Eucharist was nearby or present. So, we're wired to know and love our Creator. And so I guess even at the youngest age, we can do that. Okay, let's go to David in Chicago, listening on WSFI. Hello, David. Thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. And you're welcome. I am 73, and I received my first Holy Communion in, May of 56. And my parents had taken us to see the miracle of Our Lady of Fatima. And very, you know, apropos for today, I must say, I was amazed by that picture. And, you know, when I got to Holy Communion, there was so much excitement with the nuns and you know, teaching us and the confession, the first confession. And I was scared, but, you know, I got off easy with Our Father, Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. And it was really exciting stuff. And the candle, the Holy Communion candle, had them in Grandma's drawer, so we wouldn't lose them or mess them up or something. We played priest, and we had Mass at home, you know, and we used to light them, and Grandma said, no more, we save these for storms. So whenever a big storm came over Chicago, as our weathermen say, Grandma would say, "Davey, get your Holy Communion candle. Get the candle from my dresser drawer on the top. Can I light it, Grandma? Be careful." And I'd light on the Meriton O'Keefe stove that she baked everything under the sun in, and light the candle. And, you know, those storms, you know, the sky gets gray, black, green, and our house was always there. Never got blown away.
Beautiful, beautiful sharing. Thank you so much. And the story about your grandmother. And you mentioned something, too, that's really vital to this conversation, and that is first confession also usually comes with First Communion, right before First Communion. And that's obviously, Debbie, a great introduction to the sacrament of confession for the kids. Unfortunately, too many of us, you know, older people, adults, you know, kind of fall out of the practice of doing that. But I've always tried to imagine myself being a priest, hearing the young kid's first confession, you know, a little bit nervous, but also kind of excited, you know, and Father having to kind of lead him along the way, you know.
Our pastor said years ago, David and Jerry, you'll get a kick out of this. We asked him that. We said, "Father, what's it like hearing first confessions?" And he said, "It's like having cotton balls thrown at you." Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Because it's so soft and gentle, the minor sins that are committed by these young souls. It's just really, wow. You know, we have the sacramental life, folks. It's huge in our faith. Please take advantage of it. Thank you so much, David. Thank you for your wonderful call. You're reflecting back to 1956. Wow, Jerry.
Yeah.
I wasn't even born yet, David.
Speaking of Davids, we have Dave watching on YouTube. Dave says, one sad thing is that there are many kids and parents who do not know how to behave in Mass, especially for a First Communion Mass. My son did very well in his behavior, but it has room for improvement. He forgot to kneel after communion and followed along with the rest of the kids until an instructor told them what to do. And David adds, I still have my First Communion tie. It shrunk too much for my boys to wear.
Oh, but he still has it. You should frame it. Frame it. I think it's awesome. Okay, so let's hear what Suzanne has to say in San Antonio, Texas on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Suzanne. Thanks so much for waiting and welcome. Tell us about First Holy Communion.
Hi, guys. Well, it's more my youngest daughter's First Holy Communion. She is the one that I have been able to homeschool since the very beginning. So I was her educator. I did all of the prep and everything. The pastor that we had at the time was one who he had family members who had been through the exact same homeschooling program, so we used Seton. My mom had passed away in August the year before. Not knowing that, when she passed away, we were going through all of her stuff, and we found an envelope with money set aside for my daughter's First Communion dress. So we went, we bought a First Communion dress, and it was just very special because she was homeschooled. There was no big religious education class or a Catholic school class that she did it with. So our sweet little pastor went through with her, led her through, like you said, with First Confession, which was a big deal for her because she was very concerned. Mommy, what if I say something and Father says it's not, you know, that it's not good enough, that I'm not good enough for being able to do this? And of course, he was able to walk her through and let her know, no, you're fine. Go do your penance and go from there. And so a week later, she received her First Holy Communion. And it was just such a special experience. My dad was still alive at the time, so he was able to be there. Her older sister, who is 17 years older, was able to be there. Her godmother and godfather were able to be there. And it was just so special because it was all focused on her receiving First Holy Communion. And from that point on, she gets very upset if we can't go to Mass for any reason. She's sick, I'm sick, something's going on because she can't receive communion. Mm-hmm. And so she also has a very deep devotion to saints. And every day when we do religion, she draws a picture of Jesus or Mary or a saint on the back of her religion page that she does every single day. And I've kept them since she started doing it about 4.5 years ago.
Wow. Could turn into a little book there. What do you think?
We're working on it as a book. Mm-hmm. I'm actually getting ready.
Oh, cool.
As a book.
Yeah, I think that would be phenomenal. Okay, Suzanne, so a couple things I just wanted to say. You should share with your daughter, Blessed, if you haven't already, Blessed Imelda Lambertini's story. It's just, I think your daughter would really love it. I added you in the book and your family. If you feel comfortable, can you give us your mother's, and we're sorry for the loss, but I love how she set aside money. That is so beautiful. That reminds me of my mom, did the same thing. Okay, your mother's first name and your daughter's first name, so I can put you all in the book.
Sure. My mom was Sue. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to give you my dad, who passed away almost a year ago. It'll be a year on the 22nd of this month, and he was Buddy.
Okay.
And then my daughters are Catherine and Sophia.
Catherine and Sophia. Beautiful. Very interesting. I have a Sue in my family and a Buddy as well. I have a brother Buddy. Isn't that interesting? See how we're all very connected. I just love your story, the journey. It's so beautiful. Your daughter sounds precious, and wow. See, I'm glad you called in because I think folks needed to hear your story today about how special First Holy Communion is, and the preparation phase, just like your mother set aside money, you're already planning for it, you're already looking forward to it, and that is important, Jerry.
Well, yes, we have studied, because of Seton, we have studied Blessed Imelda, and that was actually, I want to say, about 2 weeks before she made her First Holy Communion, and so she was very impressed by that fact.
Wow.
That she was so interested in receiving Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has actually drawn 2 or 3 pictures of Blessed Imelda on her stuff that she's done. And she's done one of Blessed Carlo Acutis as well.
Which daughter does this, Catherine or Sophia? Which daughter?
Sophia.
Sophia.
Catherine, okay. Almost 30.
Oh, okay.
Awesome, Suzanne. Thank you so much for gracing our program today.
So next is Sue in Maryland, waiting patiently. EWTN app is the way she's listening. And Sue, tell us about your first Holy Communion.
Okay. I made my first Holy Communion in 1957, and my teacher was Irish Dominican sister Frances Imelda. I had a connection there. And to this day, 65 years later, I still say the prayer we were taught at First Communion, every time I receive communion, because although it was made for little children to understand it, it's just as meaningful to me today. And then I became a catechist. In the 1980s, I was at St. Gabriel's Parish in North Carolina, and we had a big day of First Communicants, about 100 kids in the church, and I was at the door. And a lady came in, and she looked at me, and she said, "I don't think I should be here." I said, "Can I help you?" "I don't think I should be here. I don't think I should be here, but I want to see my grandson's first communion." And she turned to go, and this little voice called out, "Grandma, over here!" And she saw her grandson amongst the crowd, and her face went from totally sad and anxious beaming. And her grandson ran over and took her hand, and she was not leaving. So what a moment of grace. Jesus is present not just in the Eucharist, but all around us all the time.
Wow, Sue, you've got some amazing experiences there. God bless your daughter for doing that. And what an amazing story. As you were describing the story of the boy with his grandmother who came into the church, it sounded like a movie scene. I was seeing a movie, you know, because that's just one of those very poignant scenes that you might see in a movie such as that. But and thank you so much for being a catechist as well. You know, I've been involved in religious education, Debbie, as you know, at my parish for the last year and a half or so. And I knew this before, but it's become so crystal clear to me how vitally important it is to do it well, because you're shaping the hearts and minds of these young children. That's going to be, you know, how they view the faith and how they view God and Jesus and the church throughout their entire lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you. I love the catechist. Thanks, you guys, for stepping into ministry. It is amazing. And please do so. If your church asks you, you know, to step into ministry, maybe you would sign up or even just sit in on some classes to see if it's something you would like to do.
But we'll continue along to Carissa, who is in Fall City, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network.
I received my first Holy Communion when back in 1964, right after my youngest brother was born. The reason it's so special to me is, first of all, my mother had a very hard delivery, so she was not able to attend my first Holy Communion, but my grandmother was there, and I'm going to start crying. Sorry. She dressed me, and she got me. I just remember feeling so beautiful. And then when I went to the church, we had back then in the old days, we all proceeded and we had to kneel in front of a rail with a cloth over it. And we had to put our hands under the cloth. And then the priest would go by and put Jesus on our tongue. And I just remember, I can still see myself receiving First Holy Communion, that it was so exciting, and I was in such awe, and I just felt so happy, even though my mother was not able to attend. My grandmother, my Momo, made it so special for me. I feel so blessed. I, too, am a director of education in Fall City, and I feel very blessed. I've been teaching CCD since I was 18, so you do the math. I'm 60, almost 65 now. Again, my daughter is teaching CCD, and her little 2.5-year-old little girl, Claire, she's so precious. They caught her on video. She will bow, and then she'll go up, take and put her hand, and then as if she's taking Jesus, she'll put her little hands out, and then she'll put it to her mouth, and then walk off. And she does it, I mean, just randomly. I guess Jesus is on her mind, which makes me happy. And I noticed on my last three little grandchildren, when in church, they just always kind of look. They look up and they look to the altar, have read the book, The Seven Secrets of the Eucharist. And I know that when during the consecration, the heavens are opened up, all the angels and all the saints and all of our loved ones are there with us. And I feel deep in my heart that my grandchildren, the innocent little babies, are seeing this and are participating in their own little way. Thank you for doing this. I love your show, and I appreciate being able to talk to you.
Oh, Carissa, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing all that you did. And thanks for being involved in religious education as well. And I love the way you describe how your granddaughter just kind of has Jesus on her mind all the time. It's beautiful when kids do that. When boys, you know, play act like they're saying mass, or girls, you know, do whatever they do. And of course, we become fuller members of the church with every sacramental step that we take, you know, baptism and then Eucharist and confirmation. And so I'm sure, like she was describing, Debbie, the angels and saints are just rejoicing when our young people, anybody for that matter, receives communion for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Carissa, great, great call. I put your whole family in our book and your grandmother as well. God knows who she is, a special lady. And thank you for being in ministry. Carolyn and Gina and Marguerite and Jennifer and Roxanne and who's ever talking to Matt right now. We don't have your name up on the screen. We've got full phone lines. We're not going to get to you because you're going to hear the music. There's the music. Is it starting to play? Oh, I hear it in my head. Oh, it is. Oh, it really is there. I normally hear our music over and over again all weekend long. So, folks, on Monday, look forward to Monday's show. We're going to be talking. We're going to ask the question, are you too attached to things or even people? And we're going to talk about detachment on Monday. Jerry?
Yeah, thank you, affiliates, for airing the program. We appreciate that. Thanks to the show team. Most of all, thank you, the Take-Two family. Until Monday, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, pray for us.